Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of KPTL and GMC hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to you to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Kalpataru Power Transmission and GMC Projects. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Manish Mohnot, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Amit Uplenchwar, Director, Group Strategy and Subsidiary Operations, Mr. Ram Patodia, President, Finance and CFO, and Mr. Vikram Singhvi, CFO, GMC. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Mohnot for his initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhoomika. Just before that we start, we're just trying to connect to S.K. Tripathi. He's been traveling overseas for an assignment, and hopefully he'll also join the call in the next few minutes. Good morning, everyone. We heartily welcome you to all to the earnings call of Kalpataru Power Transmission and GMC Projects for Q1 2023. Let me begin with a quick summary of the performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2022, post which I will provide update on individual business and key strategic initiatives. We have reported strong growth of 15% YOY in consolidated revenue, driven by robust performance on the execution front. Our consolidated EBITDA margin of 8.6% remain healthy in the context of the unprecedented high commodity and logistics costs. Our PBT before exception grew by 10% to 139 crores, and PAT grew by 13% to 88 crores. Our consolidated net debt has declined by 21% YOY to rupees 2,301 crores. Our net debt in our core EPC business, excluding road route assets and Sri Shubham Logistics, stands at around 1,500 crores. Our net working capital days is at 106 days at a consolidated level. Our debt levels are in line with requirement of high working capital in certain businesses, which is generally witnessed in the first quarter of every year. We expect normalization of working capital getting into second half of this financial year and are committed to further reduce debt by the year-end. Additionally, our focused efforts to bring further efficiency in working capital, speedy project closures, and proceeds from sale of Indore asset will help us further in our deleveraging journey. We had a very good start to the year in terms of order inflows, as we have already secured orders of rupees 7,952 crores at consolidated level. Additionally, we have an L1 position of around 7,000 crores. The secured orders combined with L1 is almost 70% of our targeted consolidated order inflow of rupees 21,000 crores for the full year 2023. Moreover, most of the new orders secured till date in 2023 are at better prices and were quoted at the peak of the commodity cycle. Hence, there is enough cushion on the margin front as these orders get into execution in later part of the year. Our consolidated order book without L1 of rupees 36,888 crores is well diversified across businesses and markets. This gives us good visibility to achieve the targeted growth going forward. Now coming to individual businesses. First, in our T&D business. Our growth was impacted given lower order inflows in 2022 last year. Our international T&D order book for the first time has crossed the $1 billion mark. We have secured orders of rupees 3,355 crores till date in our T&D business. Most of these orders are from international markets. We continue to strengthen our foothold in key markets by strategically targeting large-sized projects and ensuring superior project delivery. Our markets continue to be in Africa, Middle East, SAARC, Americas, and India. We expect growth momentum in the T&D business to improve going forward, given that we have secured significant orders in the current year, and execution of these orders will start in later part of the current year. We have acquired a balance stake of 15% in LMG Sweden last month. We see tremendous potential for growth in the Nordic and European market, given the push for clean energy and need for upgradation of power transmission infrastructure. LMG has reported revenue of rupees 266 crores in Q1 and has an order book of rupees 1,178 crores at the end of June 2022. In Fastweb Brazil, we have strengthened our organization with deployment of senior resources from India. We remain watchful in our approach to scale up our operations in Brazil, given the volatility in commodity and other input costs in Brazil. From a long-term perspective, Brazil and Latin America remain one of our largest infrastructure markets, and we are confident to building a sizable presence there. Fastweb has reported revenue of 123 crores in Q1 and has an order book of rupees 934 crores at the end of June 22. In the B&F business, we have achieved revenue growth of 35% YOY in Q1 23, given robust execution and healthy order book. During the quarter, we have also secured our first data center project. Our total order intake in the B&F business was rupees 1046 crores. We have added new clients in the commercial and residential building segments. In the B&F business, we continue with the strategy to strengthen our leadership position in the select B&F markets with select clients across India. Our water business recorded strong growth of 72% with significant ramp up in our execution capabilities, especially in the large size projects. We have secured orders of rupees 2,193 crores till date in 23, and additionally we have L1 position of over rupees 1,500 crores. Our order book in the water business is at a record level of rupees 8,600 crores. Our railway business grew by 8% YOY to reach 360 crores in Q1. We have made foray in the high growth metro rail electrification space, thereby expanding our portfolio and clientele. Our order visibility has improved in the railway business across both conventional and emerging areas like metro and high speed rail. Our existing order book and L1 of rupees 500 crores gives us confidence to deliver sustainable growth in the railway business. In the oil and gas business, we have secured our first international project for an oil and gas pipeline in the Middle East. The business reported growth of 8% in Q1 23. Our business visibility remains good in this business, with tenders worth rupees 18,000 to 20,000 crores to be bid in the near term in India and international market. In the urban infra business, we have re-entered the metro rail business with an order win from Kanpur Metro for elevated viaduct and station works. Additionally, we are L1 for EPC of a large size integrated airport development project in Asia. We are confident to significantly scale up and improve our market position in the urban infra business in India and international market going forward. In case of our road BOT projects, we have witnessed significant improvement in traffic across all the three road assets. Our per day revenue has increased from 40.2 lakhs per day in Q1 last year to 56.8 lakhs per day in Q1 this year, a growth of approximately 40%. Additionally, we have received consent from lenders for restructuring of WPL and expect the same to be completed in Q3. Simultaneously, we have started working on refinancing of VPL, which we expect to complete this year. As far as update on KPTL and JMC merger is concerned, we have received no objection letter from SEBI and stock exchanges. We have filed petition with NCLT, for which first level of approval is expected anytime soon, maybe in a few days itself. Post that, we will proceed for shareholder approval, for which the meetings are scheduled in the first week of September. We plan to complete the merger latest by Q4 23. Now moving on to our outlook. We continue to drive our strategic priorities of enhancing growth in the core EPC business, expanding international reach, further strengthening our balance sheet, and divesting non-core business and assets. The recent softening of select commodity price augurs well for us, and if this stays, it will sequentially benefit our margins from December or March quarter onwards. Our business visibility across all our businesses remain robust, both in domestic and international markets. We are confident to reach our targeted consolidated order inflow of 21,000 crores for the full year 23, and we might revise this target upwards in Q2 once we have some more clarity. Our current order book and well-diversified business mix favorably place us to navigate various challenges in the current operating environment. We are confident to deliver consolidated revenue growth in excess of 15% for full year 23. With a clear imperative to further strengthen our balance sheet and maintain one of the best financial profiles in the MPC industry, we are working towards divestment of non-core business and assets. We expect to complete sale of our Indoreal estate project in the next 12 to 15 months. Also, we expect significant progress on resolution of road boot assets in financial year 23. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we begin the question and answer session, we would like to announce that we have S.K. Tripathi sir's line connected to the call. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Congratulations for a recent result. My first question is, if I look at the margin front, the standalone core margins have been close to 8.5% levels. So if you can help us understand, A, in terms of the standalone backlog, how is the mix between fixed price and variable price projects? And going forward, since you mentioned that the new order inflows have come at peak of the commodity prices, so how should we look at the core portfolio margins for KPP moving ahead in second half of the year and for fiscal 24?
Good morning, Renu. So if I look at the KPTL standalone order book, as of now, our fixed price projects are closer to 75%, variable is 25%. At a consolidated level, our variable price projects are 59% and fixed price projects are 41%. So that's how the balance is as per standalone and consolidated is concerned. On the margin front, Renu, clearly I think we had targeted at the beginning of the year that we should be reaching margins closer to 9% at EBITDA level on consolidated, and we believe getting into Q3, if not maybe later part of Q2, depending upon, you know, the impact of monsoons on various projects, we should be reaching there. Clearly now we're seeing that a lot of softening on all the three aspects which had hurt us, right? Freight prices have coming down significantly. Availability of containers no longer is an issue. That's the first thing. Commodity prices have, one, softened and are less volatile. So one is a softening issue. Second is a less volatile issue. That's the second advantage we have.
Right.
At third, you know, from an interest cost perspective, we're not getting much impacted because we anyway, our balance sheet is you know, so under-leveraged that we don't have a negative in terms of interest rates going up.
Correct.
So from that perspective, we personally believe getting into Q3, we should be there, if not slightly earlier.
And also, at the end of 4Q, we had created a provision for cost to completion on account of commodity inflation impact. Also, do we think there could be probability that some of these provisions could be reversed in the second half, given that commodities have come off and prices look more comfortable compared to the start of the calendar year?
So, Renu, out of the closing provision was closer to 150 crores at the end of the year in terms of CTC loss, 145, 148 number, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Out of that, we have utilized or we've done projects where we have reversed this provision of around 40 crores in Q1. We still continue to hold a CTC provisioning of 100 crore plus. And you're right, Q2, Q3, either the project will get delivered or the softening will help. So either way, you know, you'd see this provisioning coming down in Q2 and Q3.
Got it. And secondly, your overall commentary in terms of order pipeline prospects have been very strong. L1 has been at 7,000 plus crores. So if you can just give us some more qualitative comments in terms of how the prospect list and pipeline in the core T&D, rail, EPC and other portfolio is stacking up.
So when I look at today the L1 positions, you know, it's a mix across all divisions, right? We have significant portion of L1 in transmission and international. We have a couple of large projects in railways. We have a couple of large projects in waters. We have one large airport project which was L1 till a few days ago. And it should get converted to an order soon. We have orders across B&F. So if you ask me today, from a growth visibility perspective, I think three divisions we see will do very well in terms of growth from a three-year perspective. And my definition of very well is 15-20 plus, which is TLI, water and B&F. TLD and railways, you should see, TLD, railways and oil and gas, all of them should be in the range of 10 to 15. But there is a lot of visibility. You know, even in TLD now we're seeing a lot of state orders coming, a lot of BOOT tenders declared. It's got deferred. Even the Leh Ladakh has got deferred, but getting into maybe Q2, Q3, you should see those order books also improving. So today, across the board, across our 6-7 segments, wherever we are, the visibility is good. One. Second, you know, our focus of getting a much stronger and international beyond transmission has also helped us. Last 3 years, you've seen JMC, they've built a significant order book on international, whether it's on roads and B&F. After two years of efforts, we have secured our first order in oil and gas in Middle East, and we're bidding for 5-6 more large projects. Railways, we had one order in neighboring country, but now we're bidding for 5-6 orders in 5-6 projects in Africa. So with that visibility also, I don't think order book would be a challenge in any form, and that's why I was clear that we will revise upwards our order book target by the end of Q2.
If I can ask just one more question, you did mention that you are re-entering within the urban infra, the metro and the viaduct segment. So any specific reasons you are re-entering the market or internal changes where you believe the past experiences of cost overruns and reimbursement concerns will not crop up again?
So Renu, you're right. Our historical numbers on some of the metro projects were not so good, but we have learned from the lessons that we are not bidding very aggressive to take projects. But at the same time, you know, we need to maintain our pre-qualifications, which we have built a long time ago. So while we'll be selective in bidding for projects, but we'll bid in a manner that we are seen as a player across all segments, one. And second, I'm re-emphasizing on the fact that we will also take that business international, because the opportunities in Africa on some of the urban infra projects is very, very high. So it's a combination of three things. You know, make sure that you have PQ and credentials and a team to deliver across the segment. Be selective on clients who you want to work with a clear defined duration with not significant capex, and take this business international in a defined time frame.
Got it. Thanks much, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Renu.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Manishji and Tripathi, and congratulations on a good performance on challenging time.
Good morning.
Coming back to our this 3-year vision which you have said. So where do again we want to reiterate, because that was when we announced, it was challenging. So in terms of revenue, core EBITDA margin and PBT, factoring the merger benefit, and how much order book will need, to achieve those kind of, and you are currently, you said we are in a 6-7 sector, but and are we looking also to add any sector or not? So if you can revise your, 3-year vision.
Sure. Bharat bhai, I think we continue to be focused on achieving our targeted vision. And in the last 6 months, we're becoming much more confident and much more closer to achieving the vision of 26-27. So we had a vision of 25-26. Sorry, I correct myself. We had a vision of reaching a $3 billion revenue in the next 3 years. If I look at it sequentially, we were last year at around 14,500. In the current year, we will be in the range of 17,500 plus. Right, which means significant growth. And with the order book visibility, that should not be a challenge. Okay. Second, with the entire sector's infrastructure spending, you know, thrust, whether it is Middle East, Africa, India, and private sector capex coming back, we believe that, you know, achieving what we are targeted should not be a challenge. As far as margins are concerned, yes, we are targeting 4.5-5% at a PBT level, which is what we had committed at the beginning of the year. And I believe that we should be there sooner than later. And on an annualized basis also, we will be targeting a number similar. EBITDA level, going back to the double digit looks difficult for the current year, because, you know, we keep a lot of inventory and projects. So even when the softening happens, by the time the impact comes, you know, you would have lost 5-6 months. But definitely going into the next year, we are targeting, getting back to the double digit levels, which we have historically done always. Pre-COVID, if you look at our numbers, it was always there. But now we were looking at those numbers at a console level, right? Which means something very, very different at from a larger organization perspective.
Yeah.
On the next question, are we looking at diversifying beyond the sectors we are? Well, France, within the sectors we are, I think we have not yet done a lot. And our definition of lot is very simple. We want to be among the three in the marketplace, top three in the marketplace where we exist. So okay. Some of the sectors we believe we are in the top three, some of them we are not. So we anyway have a huge challenge in front of us with a good opportunity of reaching that in the sectors. So over the next 2-3 years, if you ask me, we will continue to be focused on our core sectors, which are C&D, water, B&F, oil and gas, urban infra, railways. And within that, a lot more thrust on the international business.
Okay, great, sir. Sir, and one more question, if you do, with your permission.
Yes, sir.
Sir, we understand from the market that our promoters, financial problem has been resolved substantially and is expected to be over in a couple of months. So would you like to comment on the pledge, sir?
So, Bharatbhai, what we've been given to understand from the promoter, and they stake on the same ground which we had spoken last time, that we should see some good improvement on reduction of pledge shares anytime between September to November, as early as September and latest by November.
Great.
Beyond that, I do not have any other data, but I had spoken to them before this call and they said September, and that's what you had committed in the earlier call also. I think looks like we are on track as far as that commitment is concerned.
Great. And all the best, sir.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity.
Good morning.
A couple of questions. Yeah. So first one, if you can just give us some sort of understanding on our international businesses with respect to Linjemontage and also on Fasttel, specifically on the margin side. And what we are witnessing in Brazil is, something where the interest rate risk have gone up quite substantially. So how are you looking at these businesses?
Sure. So Swarnim, as far as Linjemontage is concerned, they have done better than what we had projected when we acquired them, right? And even today, even if you look at what they have done in the current quarter, their EBITDA continues to be in the range of 8 to 9%. We had targeted 6 to 7, but they are in the range of 8 to 9% and with reasonable PBT. We have good visibility of order book. Clearly, we are one among the top three in that space. And we're seeing a lot of opportunities coming up there and in the neighboring Nordic countries. And we continue to focus on the neighboring Nordic countries also from Linjemontage. The team is very strong there. From where we have acquired, we have doubled the team. Right now, we have around 200 people there, which was closer to 100 when we had acquired it. And the visibility is very good on every aspect of the business, whether it is TL, whether it is substation, whether it is services. As far as Fasttel is concerned, we have taken a large order in the last quarter, right, from one of the Indian developers itself to be delivered over the next 2.5 years. That order is at the current price with the current interest rate and with cash flows which are positive across. On the Fasttel number for the quarter, they have delivered a loss. If they've done a 123 crore revenue with a EBITDA of negative of around 4 crores. Fasttel, if you look at the business, from a business perspective, we're focused on working with select clients and select projects in geographies closer to that area where the expertise. We are still not expanding across Brazil because we see a lot of opportunities in that southern part where we are very strong. Parallelly, we have built a strong team. We have sent closer to 10 people from India to Fasttel in the last 6 months, and we have recently gotten a new CEO who's also joined us. So at that business, while we are cautious, we are growing with selective clients to make sure that at least we can work in segments which are strong areas. I believe Fasttel would get back to profitability next year, but the current year the losses would not be very significant, would be minimal. We have also been successful in Fasttel of getting huge claims from clients over the last 15 months, which has helped us make sure that our losses are very, very minimized. And these are claims which are in the bank. We don't account for claims unless the money hits the bank. And that's also helped us sustain the, unprecedented rise in commodity and we don't have an interest rate issue there because debt is very minimal at a Fasttel level.
Okay. Got it. So secondly, now we have entered into railways, if it's one of those new divisions. And railways, you know, has been, of course, a very big opportunity. But if you see, the working capital is a bit of a challenge over there. So how do you look to navigate that part?
So, Swanim, we have been selective in building our order books. If you look at railway last year, our order book inflow was very, very small amount. We continue to be very, very selective in building the railway order book wherever it is, wherever working capital is very, very high. Right? So there are selective kind of projects which are back-ended, you know, where we have said that let's be very, very cautious. That's the first thing. Second, you know, on a from a perspective of that division, as I said earlier, the focus would be one to bid for high value projects. You look at our project declared as a 500 crore plus, one more L1 we have 500 crore plus, so that, you know, over the life cycle of the project, the working capital cycle gets balanced with the advance coming in, you know, at the beginning of the project. Third, on railways, we've been in the business for 6-7 years, and as I said earlier, I'm not bullish of growing that business like 15-20-25%. More in the range of 10% to make sure that we do not over-leverage our balance sheet in any form. We've been successful in that till now, and I don't see that as a challenge even going forward.
Fair enough, sir. Got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kandapal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi Manish ji and SKP, congratulations on a great quarter, sir. So my first question is on the international order book. So last year we had seen GMC clocking about 3,000 crores of inflows from the international order book. In this year, how do we see this international order book growing up? Even if I see the full year numbers, last year you had inflow about 9,000 crores from international market. And now you're taking GMC's competencies in overseas markets. So how do you see this order book turning out?
Sure. So basically, let me answer this and I'll
yeah.
So from a focus perspective, I think we're very, very clear. International is a big area for us, given that, you know, KPTL per se is in 60 countries and GMC is only in 5 or 6. Okay. So the focus to take GMC across a lot of markets continues to be one of our key strategic areas, and we've been very vocal about it. In terms of numbers, yes, last year was fabulous in terms of international order book. Are we going to replicate that same number? I don't know, or I'm not sure whether that number is going to be same or similar or lower. Because it, at the end of the day, depends on what opportunities and if you can get profitable orders. But while we say so, today itself, we're L1 in one large international order. And there are a few more which we are, you know, we have bid which we are very hopeful of. At a consolidated level, I can confidently tell you that we are looking at more than 50% of our current year order flows coming from international, if not maybe in the range of 60%. So that defines a strategy, but, you know, would it be similar to last year? It's going to be difficult, because please remember that getting orders is easier than executing orders. And we're building up the team, we're ramping up the team, so we just don't want to get into that scenario where, you know, you just have suddenly got into 25 countries and you're running around building teams. So it will be a growth-oriented strategy, but we're not able to give you an exact number and saying that how much it will be. Console, yes, 50% plus will be international.
Okay. So my second question is on the debt level. So we have been able to reasonably contain our debt level for the scale of business which we do. But this quarter, we have seen that increasing. As you said, that usually Q1, H1, the debt increases. But are these the peak level of debt for both GMC and Kalpataru? Or do we see the debt further growing up from here?
So, Parikshit, if you look at our numbers, and I'm sure you've been in this, you've been looking at us for closely for long enough, last 5 years, Q1, our debt levels always go up. Right? Last year, it went up by 350 odd crores. At a KPTL level, JMC also went up last year, but JMC has done a wonderful job of reducing debt in the current Q1. Hats off to the entire team. So that's been the history for our business for long enough. But while it's gone up, we're pretty confident we stick to our target of further deleveraging by 300 to 400 crores by the year end. So getting into Q3, Q4, you'll start seeing things improving again. Third, today on advances, we are very selective. Right, because we're still getting, you know, debt at much lower level. So that's one area which again we will revisit at the end of Q2, and that will further help us reduce the debt. So we're not worried. It's just gone up by 400 crores. Last year, Q1 was 300 crores. That's the nature of our business. Q1, typically, all clients have their budgeting process. The CapEx cycle starts only by June. Vendors need to be paid to make sure that they gear up for delivery over the next 9 months. So that's how the cycle is. So we are within our budgeted numbers as far as debt is concerned.
So sorry, the one thing here, you said the debt reduction of 350-odd crores. This is from what, Q1 levels? You're talking about Q4 levels last year.
Q4 levels. Guided us from Q4 levels at a consolidated EPC level, a debt reduction of 300-400 crores. We're still sticking to that target.
Okay. And just one more thing on the pledged shares. You said that between September, as early as September and November, we see reduction in the share promoter pledges. So that does it imply that directionally now the pledges will keep reducing from there on, from September, November onward? And is there any pathway of this going to zero, maybe, beyond September, say, next 12 months beyond September? So any guidance there would be helpful.
So Parikshit, what we've been given to understand from the promoters is that, yes, pledge will continuously come down. At a significant amount, you should see in between September to November itself, a number which they had committed to the shareholders to be done by December, which did not happen, will happen now. I would like to take this step by step. Let's first see that first reduction happening, and then we'll come back to you with a revised target of what next. So right now the focus is, let's see the first big chunk happen between September and November, which the promoters have committed to us.
Okay. And just the last thing, sir, if I may, the Indore thing, how much of cash, net cash we have realized during this quarter? And for the road subsidiaries, if you can just quantify how much has been the last funding for this quarter and how much will the amount for the full year?
So on the Indore front, you know, we were expecting OC of one of our buildings as early as April, which came in July. Okay, so that got delayed by 3 months, but for Tower C residential, the OC came in July. So a lot of sales which were committed will get booked now. So you should see a significant amount of cash flow coming in this quarter itself. For the previous quarter, I think we just got a number which was, it wasn't significant. It was in the range of 15-20 crores, not more than that. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's not significant. But we expect the current quarter to be much, much higher because the OC got delayed by 3 months, but now we've got OC for Tower C also. So which means OC for 4 towers is done, only 1 tower left. In terms of our total value of investment today, we have around 290-odd crores, which is, you know, still invested in it. And as I said earlier, we expect 100-odd crores to be reduced in the current year itself out of that, if not more.
On the road subsidiaries?
SKT, you want to just brief on road subsidiaries?
Yeah. Yeah. So, road, Parikshit, good morning. This quarter, we have invested about 21 crore or so. And majority of that has gone into the maintenance, periodic maintenance, which roads were requiring. And as we have given the forecast for the whole year, it could be in the range of about 70 to 80 crore because KEPL is already terminated, so cash outflow is already stopped there. And rest of the things, they are in the manageable range. Revenue has also seen some upsurge in the quarter one all the projects. So I think the investment should be in the range, in this range for the year.
And how much is the maintenance in this SKT, like out of the 70-80? So what is the regular short?
So out of 21, about
70-80, sir.
70-80. Out of 70-80, yeah, about 35 to 40 crore will be towards the maintenance.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Those are my questions.
Thank you.
And I just want to add to what SKT said, sorry, that this was numbers based on our projections at the beginning of the year. If the traffic continues to improve the way it's improving, hopefully we should be able to improve on these numbers also. But we'll commit that maybe at the end of Q2 or Q3.
Okay. Sure, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prem Khurana from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions, sir, and congratulations on a good quarter. My questions are with respect to JMC. So when I look at our order backlog and the commentary that you gave in your opening remarks on the way water and BNS has grown during the quarter, it seems as if our other income and infra other than water seems to be going a little slow, and given the fact that we have 3,000 crore rupees of order backlog there as well, the quarterly run rate that I get to have based on my calculation works out to be almost around 80-90 crores, which seems to be on a lower side. So what would explain this? And is it that, I mean, some of these projects are long gestation projects or moving slow? I mean, if you could help us with the way it's been with our infra other than water, please.
SKD? SKD, are you there?
Hello. Hello. I lost in between.
Sir, I'll repeat the question. So what I want to understand was when I look at, I mean, the way it's been, I mean, in your opening remarks, you said BNF has grown almost around 35-odd% YOY, and water has grown 72-odd%. And when I do my calculation, the number that I get to have in terms of revenue contribution from your other infra works to be almost around 90-100-odd crore rupees for the quarter, right? And the run rate has been somewhat similar. So when I compare this number, quarterly run rate of 80-90-100-odd crore rupees with an order backlog of 3,000-odd crore rupees in infra segment, the number seems to be on lower side. So just for understanding,
Right.
What would explain this slow contribution or low contribution given the fact that we have this healthier an order backlog in infra side as well? I mean, is it that some of these projects are long gestation or how is that?
So your prognosis is right. All the international projects where you have seen revenue in the range of 50 crore, because these projects have 6 to 8 months of mobilization period post the signing of the contract. This is by the design, because the logistic and the. So these are four and a half year gestation projects as far as the international is concerned. And that is why we will see the uptick in the revenue starting from the quarter three and the quarter four, because the first 6 to 8 months goes into the design, land acquisition, mobilization, and all those things. As far as urban infra is concerned, this also, the metro which we have got, that will start contributing to the revenue only from the Q3. So you are right, from the order perspective, it looks large, but the revenue contribution, we will see uptick only from the quarter three.
Sure. Okay. And then clicking on.
Prem, sorry, can I request you to speak louder?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Much better.
Also, if you could share your thoughts on the, or give us some color on the L1 that you have, almost around 2,800-odd crore rupees. How is it segregated between various segments? I mean, any large project that you could share with us? And then in terms of timeline, by when do you expect these to kind of get or become a part of our firm order backlog?
Manish?
I'm assuming, Prem, you're looking at a consolidated level, just to give a breakup of where are we in terms of L1 on a consolidated level, right?
Yes, sir.
So where we are, L1, if I look at from a JMC perspective, there's around 1,500 crores in water, there's around 1,000 crores in urban infra, and there's around 250 crores in BNF. If you look at from a KPTL perspective, there's a significant amount of 2,000+ crores, which is on international. There is around 1,000 crores at with the oil and gas division, and there's around 500 crore plus in railways. Plus, we have a few L1s in TLD, Fasttel, and Benjamin Mumtaz also.
Any timelines in place by when do you expect these to kind of become part of your firm order backlog and start contributing in some or the other form?
So I expect this entire 7,000 crores to materialize within the next 3 months. I don't see anything getting into maybe 1,000-odd crores, but 6,000+ should get materialized in this quarter itself.
Sure.
Besides this, we bid for a lot of projects which are opening up. As I said earlier, across all divisions, there are more than 25,000 crores worth of projects which we have tendered, which have not opened up. And when I say 25, it's a focused project. It's not the large bunch of projects, because otherwise it will be much higher. So those are projects which, again, will have a lot more clarity in the next few months.
Sure. Okay. And then the way we've been able to make progress with, let's say, restructuring or refinancing of some of our road assets, and the traffic has also been making a comeback, and we've been growing very good now. So any thoughts on asset monetization, because now it becomes lucrative for the suitors, right? I mean, in between, I mean, there was limited clarity on whether the traffic would come back. I mean, you'll get to have that COVID shock go away or not, given the fact that the refinancing and restructuring efforts are moving, and as well as, I mean, you have traffic which has already come back. Any thoughts on asset monetization, or going to get our capital release from BOT assets?
Sure, SKP, I'll take that.
Yeah.
So, Prem, we continue to be focused on declaring this as non-core, right? And we've been very upfront on it. All our TBCB from a long term are non-core, and some of the other things, Indore, Shubham, also we continue to. Currently, have we re-entered the market exploring buyers? The answer is a no. Right. Our focus right now is, one, make sure that, you know, the traffic, whatever improvements are there, capitalize on that to create whatever is required to make sure that. Second, do a restructuring sooner than later. And third, we have a lot of legal claims. We're at very advanced stages of awards, right, at all the three assets, and two of them significantly. So currently the focus is make sure that all of this happens. And hopefully by Q3, Q4, we should be getting back to the market. And I agree with you that there is a market which has opened up. We are aware of it. We kept our eyes and ears open, but we've still not deployed a consultant who can help us on this process. We had done that earlier, but that process stopped.
Sure. And any update on Rohtak Babla arbitration? Where are we? I mean, the process is already surrendered, right?
Yeah. So, Prem, the first arbitration, the arguments are over. And we can expect some award in Q3. Similarly, the second, the termination also, the panel is formed, and we will be getting into the proper arbitration settings maybe within 3 weeks' time.
Sure. And just one last, if I may please, on CapEx side, I think last quarter you gave us a guidance of 40 to 50 odd crore rupees. Was wondering, I mean, the way we've been able to kind of build our order backlog, would 40 to 50 crores suffice? Or are we looking to kind of take equipments on lease basis for timing, stabilize operations, some of these newer geographies that you're getting into, and then decide whether you want to buy equipments on your own books? And the current asset base that we have with us, what kind of annual revenue run it, I mean, is it possible to be able to take care of with the existing asset base? This is for JMC.
Okay. Kiri?
So, yeah. So, CapEx base, I think we ourselves have an internal plan to the range of about 100 crore. That number, 40 to 50 crore, we need to correct in our perception, because for this kind of growth, we can't manage with 40 to 50 CR. And this is 100 crore will be minimum required in addition to the lease rentals in order to keep the asset book in the normal levels. Now, what was your second question?
So the current asset base that we have with us, what kind of annual revenue run rate is possible with this space?
So normal, the asset to turnover, if you see the 6.5 or 7 is considered extremely good as a ratio, right? And if you look at in our case, we have a asset base of almost 700 crore, and we clocked a revenue of about 5,300 crore, which is at par the best in the industry. That also largely comes because of the water business improved number. So on the mix, it is healthy, but if you look at the specific sectors, maybe numbers will vary here and there, but as a company, we are on a asset to turnover ratio of 7+, which is good by any industry standard.
I just want to add to this, Prem, on the CAPEX front, at the console level, our budget is around 250 crores for the current year. And, you know, while 100 and 100 have been defined for capital and JMC, but we would be crossing 50 crores of CAPEX for the current year, given the new order inflows. And given our low leverage on the balance sheet side, that would not be constrained in any form. So CAPEX will continue to happen, and you know, that's wherever it is required for growth will be done. But our current year target is 250 crores at a consolidated level on CAPEX.
Sure. May I ask one more question? Sure, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vatlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So the question is on Indore. Manish, you mentioned 290 crores of investments in that and 100 crores of cash flow. Does that mean 200 crores of loss in that investment? If you can just help us understand better.
Bhavin, thanks for correcting. No, I just made it clear that 100 plus crores we're going to collect in the current year itself. It's going to be much more than 100. 100 is the bare minimum in the balance part of 9 months. Your fifth building's OC is expected sometime, maybe 6 months from now or maybe 9 months from now. So a lot of cash in terms of the residential as well as commercial attached to that building will happen later. So on this 290 crores, we do not expect any further loss to come in. We had already taken an impairment of 45 crores in the previous year. So we expect this entire amount to be recovered, 100 to 125 in the balance 9 months and balance in the next year.
So IRR would be net negative?
IRR, on a project as a whole, because we've charged interest on the debt across the project, it wouldn't be net negative even if we take that hit of 45 crores, because on the debt, interest has been charged for this entire duration of 6-7 years. But yeah, it would not be as attractive as what we had thought at the time when we had got into the project.
Understand. So from now on, no further investments in the real estate. Would that be a right statement?
Absolutely. I don't think we've done anything in the last 5 years. Or maybe more than that, last 7-8 years, the Indore and Bhopal were the last two. Except, you know, buying some small guest house requirements or office requirements, that's a different story, which is for our own consumption purpose, small ones, not even big ones. But there was absolutely no real estate developmental projects. Absolutely, that's a statement which can be taken as a motto.
The second question is on the monetization of road assets. And last year, during the same time, you mentioned that you have these two term sheets and you were expecting a decision in the couple of weeks. And now you are saying there is a change in thought process. So can you help us? What resulted in the change in thought process? And while you are saying that you have classified it as non-core and the market has opened up, but there is no intention to sell as of now.
Bhavin, I think we had corrected ourselves in Q3, Q4 itself by saying that yes, we had a bidder who had given us a non-binding offer on one of the assets and we were very keen to look at it. But, you know, there was one of the conditions which were more, which was something which, wherein we would have lost our opportunity on all the arbitration cases, which we believe are strong cases. And as SKT presented earlier, we expect majority of the arbitration awards to come in the next 6 to 9 months. Right? So at that point of time, a conscious call was taken, given that, you know, traffic had improved and all of that, to say that let's focus on O&M, let's focus on improving traffic, let's get the arbitration awards whichever way. We are not sure of what amount, whichever way it comes. And then we would, because any new buyer is getting into that space of saying that, you know, can we withdraw this? Because to get the final approval, maybe the client might also ask you to do that. And that's where the call was taken, saying that, you know, if things are happening the way they are happening, you know, let's just make sure that we focus on doing three of them and again revisit maybe Q4 or Q1 of next year.
And I think in next 6 to 8 months, the pieces will fall in such a way that it will be a seller's market for us rather than a buyer's market.
And last question.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're not audible.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Slightly better, yeah.
Yeah. Last question. Where are we in the monetization for Shubham?
So Bhavin, Shubham, you know, we've taken a few calls. One, we had created 5 or 6 coal assets which were giving very low returns, and any new people who are looking at that space are not keen for the coal warehouses. So we started exiting a lot of them. We have sold one of them in Q1. We are further looking at exiting a few more in Q2. So one, whatever assets which we believe are non-core from a long term, within that, right, we're exiting, and that should happen in the next few quarters. Finally, we continue to explore either strategic as well as a long-term buyer on that. But if you ask me today, do I have visibility of it happening in the current year? My answer is no. It might take some more time.
Okay.
Yeah, excuse my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rakesh Vyas from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. My question is on JMC and particularly on margins in JMC. Correct me if I'm wrong, but around 90% or more of our order book had price variation clause. And most of these projects had close to 10% margin, but it's been almost 5 quarters that we have been operating at suboptimal margins so far. So my question is in two parts. One, when should we expect this 10% margin to come back? And secondly, on the price variations that happened in last 5 quarters, when should we expect it to get recouped beyond this 10% as well?
So, good question. So, whereas if you look at the current quarter, the trend is visible, right? Otherwise, the first quarter always has been a stress quarter in terms of the numbers. Now, the lag between the prices as well as the escalation what it gives, there is always a time lag as well as there is a differential to be capped within the numbers. So, precisely to answer your question, when we will be in the 10 plus, we have already forecasted that this year we will be in the range of 9, right? And maybe towards the Q4, when we see the other things settling down, we should be in the range of 10. But as the overall year forecast, we will still go with the 9% forecast number. And let us see how the further this order books gets built up. We have aspiration to go to 10, but this is the reality today.
Got it, SKT. Just to clarify, so of last 5 quarters when the margins have been lower, is it largely on account of the differential that is not getting accounted for, or is it related to the lag in the price variation versus how we are billing today? So what I'm trying to essentially ask is that, is there a number that can get recouped from the last 5 quarters of execution into FY24 as well?
So let us look at a little bit at a granular level. Once we are continuing with the projects, which they have to continue, irrespective of the prices, we have to feed the projects. And as I said, there will be whatsoever formula gives us and what is the commodity prices, there will be always a 20% uncompensated portion, right? That is the first piece of it. The second piece is the time lag. The time lag, as I said, is now this time, if you look at the whole cycle of commodity rises, was almost 6 months, and now it is going to take another 3 to 4 months to cool down, right? So maybe the quarter three onwards, these escalation numbers will start reflecting into the, because the prices have to come down, we have to buy at that rate, it has to get into the work cycle to get converted into the sales, and then the numbers will get into the reflection. So you're right, we can see towards the Q3 end or Q4, these numbers improving. But always, due to the commodity rise, what we have, we will lose about 20%, that is a permanent loss which doesn't get compensated anyway.
Got it, SKT. And just to clarify one more point, which is on the order book, do we restate order book based on the price variations that exist, or we just only book it in the P&L and the order book remains at the original value itself?
No, we order book we keep at the original level.
For the group as a whole, order book is at the original value.
That's right.
Got it. That is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Arafat Sahil from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question, can you quantify opportunities and tender pipeline in PNB and railway segment over the next 2 to 3 years?
So on the T&D front, you know, clearly, as I said earlier also, we a good visibility of pipeline is visible both in India and overseas. India, we're seeing a lot of traction coming from projects on BOOT, on select state electricity boards, as well as select regions, whether it is Northeast as well as Ladakh. So from that perspective, visibility is there, although some tenders have got delayed by a few quarters. But if I look at it from a 2 to 3 year perspective, you know, earlier we used to say T&D might grow at the range of 5 to 7. Now we are saying in the range of 10% plus. As far as CLI is concerned, we have seen a pickup happening across all geographies, whether it is Africa, whether it is Latin America, whether it is Middle East, or whether it is CIS. And, you know, with our strong presence in 70 plus countries, out of which we're 30, 35 countries, we actually have local offices for more than 5 years. We believe that that's an area where we'll continue to grow. Even today in our L1, you know, the highest component is international TL orders. As far as railways are concerned, while we see visibility coming across the non-electrical segments, on the electrification we're not seeing much, but on composite works, on expansion, on RRTS, on high speed, on metro electrification, we're seeing a lot of tenders coming, but we see competition also there. So from a strategy perspective, you know, we would be targeting some high value projects there, but focus on more international projects where we are seeing opportunities in the railway front also.
Okay. And the second question is on the seasonal logistics. So I just want to check how the business is shaping now after pandemic and what's the outlook on that and any plan for IPO in the company?
So on the sea freight logistics, you spoke about the sea freight, right?
Shubham Logistics, SSL.
Shubham Logistics, I'm sorry. I think your voice was... So on Shubham Logistics, we've had challenging last two quarters, right? Because with the hike in prices, the storage across the country has come down. FCS storage itself has come down by 50% over the last 6 months. So last 6 months have been challenging time for Shubham in terms of storage. Luckily, our operating costs is a lot more variable, so we've not suffered so much. But we believe that, you know, coming back to the storage levels which we had seen for 3 years might take some more time. Maybe by Q3, our own storage space has come down by around 40% in the last 6 months. So, and we believe the next 3 months might be similar. Once prices stabilize of commodities and once government improves the MSPs, when storage should come back. So, Shubham, we believe next two quarters will still have challenging times. But we continue to reduce whatever is non-core within Shubham also. Like I earlier said, cold storage, we sold one of them, two or three more getting sold in the next 3 to 6 months. But next 6 months are challenging times for Shubham as far as revenue and margins are concerned.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments.
Yes, thank you everyone for being on the call and especially the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Bhumika.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect. Thank you.